This week on the Time Bat Show.
Whatever Waffle House is in, like, Iowa or something.
Yeah.
That's where the Waffle House Motherman has his, like, control center. And all it is just he has an office in the back of the Waffle House where he does his weather stuff. And then when they need more staff to, like, cook some more hash browns, they're like, Johnny, get over here. We need some more hash browns. And he's like, all right, let me finish this weather thing really fast.
Let me finish this weather report.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Time Bat Show, episode number 130-something. I'm really sure. I'm your host, Time Aces, one of your hosts, Time Aces.
And I'm your other host, Bat Snacks.
And it's been, over a week since we've done the show. And we didn't prepare at all.
Nope.
And I'm eating Whataburger right now, so it's going to be a good one.
What did you order at Whataburger? I want to know.
You want to live vicariously through me, don't you?
Yeah, I need to imagine the Whataburger
food. So I got a number two, the double meat. With cheese and grilled onions.
Ooh, that
very,
sounds
very
good.
Very simple, but like the grilled onions really add a little bit to it. Do you want to hear it really quick?
Yeah.
Okay, hold on.
That sounds good.
It is good. It's funny. Go ahead, what are you going to say?
I was going to say, you know, they don't have on their menu that you can get grilled onions,
no,
but...
It's a secret.
You need to do
it's
it.
It's so good, though. So, I have a few different Whataburger orders. One is this one. The other one is the Monterey Melt, which is really good. And then the other one is this same thing, but with grilled jalapenos as well. And that's also kind of a secret, but... Because it doesn't say on the menu you can grill jalapenos. It just says they can put jalapenos on your Whataburger.
I didn't know they would do that.
Oh, yeah, man.
You know, what I usually order there, they have that jalapeno burger that has...
Yep.
And I usually get that because that's the one with jalapenos. I didn't even know you could get the double meat with jalapenos.
Oh, yeah,
that
baby.
Might be a...
Oh, yeah, man. It's bad, but it's good. It's like the worst thing you could possibly eat. And that has like a million calories. But when I'm feeling really bad about myself, double meat, cheese, grilled jalapenos, and onions. Primo.
The melt that you usually get, is that the one that comes on the toast?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that one's really good. I've had that one, too.
It is. Their patty melt is good, too, their regular one. Mm-hmm. They both come on the toast, I think. But, yeah. Anyway, Whataburger is the best. I love it. Which, this is a good topic. Whataburger, you have them in Florida, right?
Yeah.
So, Whataburger is kind of like Publix in that it's not in many states. Publix is in Florida, Georgia, maybe South Carolina, I don't remember.
Yeah.
Whataburger is basically in everywhere on the Gulf. Like, it's in Texas and then every Gulf state up to Florida, and that's it. Like, that's all that they have, really. Oh, go ahead. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, I think it's owned by one of the ex-Jaguar players. I don't remember which one,
yeah,
but
I think
a football player opened one.
But recently, it was bought... Like the majority stake by a company from Chicago. And I don't know how I feel about that. Because on one hand, other people get Whataburger, but on the other hand, it loses its, like, charm, you know what I mean?
Yeah, not only does it lose some of the charm, like, it's kind of exclusive. Like, you know, California has the In-N-Out thing, and we have the Whataburger thing, but... Also... Majority ownership maybe means that they're going to change some stuff.
Right? And I don't want them to change anything.
Yeah.
Whataburger is already... Sorry, I'm eating. That's what I'm talking
about. It's okay.
Whataburger is already, like, really... They've got their menu down to a science. Like, you don't need to add or subtract anything. You know what I mean? Like, sorry, really.
Yeah. One thing I would remove from their menu is, like... Any of their chicken stuff. They really don't need that. They just need burgers.
So
you shouldn't be ordering
chicken stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I don't particularly hate their chicken. I don't love it. I never get it. But there are people out there that, like, love their chicken stuff. So I feel like they don't remove it because they know they have, like, 10% of the people that go to Whataburger just absolutely love their chicken stuff.
What are those people doing? Why are they doing
that? I don't know what they're doing. Because if I want chicken, I'd go to any other chicken place. But what are you going to do? I don't know. But That being said, they have four all-time favorites, right, at Whataburger?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Can you name all four? Or do you know all of them?
No, I don't know all four. What so are they?
The Patty Melt, the Monterey Melt, yeah. The Honey Barbecue Chicken Sandwich, and the Thick and Hearty Burger, I think. And that's the one with, like, A1's sauce or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
And over the years, they've rotated in and out all-time favorites. But they've only ever had four at a time. Okay, there's usually only four, and sometimes they'll have a special one that's only there for, like, 2 weeks. But the four all-time favorites are only four. And recently, 3 years ago, this is, like, Whataburger history, because I know a lot about Whataburger. 4 years ago, they introduced the Monterey Melt as, like, a special two-week, like, a month burger. And they liked it so much that they replaced their, like, barbecue burger with the Monterey Melt. And people were, like, up in arms over that change. I think it was good because I prefer the Monterey Melt over everything else.
Yeah.
But this is what I'm saying. Like, if the Chicago place is like, let's remove one all-time favorite and substitute another one, people would be like, ah! My Whataburger is ruined! You know what I mean? Like, they would freak out.
Yeah. Another good thing about Whataburger is, at least everyone I've ever been to, they're all open 24 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're having, like, a really bad moment at 2 a.m., mm-hmm. and it's like, dang it, I don't want to cook anything, but I'm really hungry, I'm in a bad mood, you can always go to Whataburger.
Yep, all the ones I've ever been to are 24 hours, which is really nice.
Yeah, it's nice, but it can't be profitable, so maybe, you know, Mr. New Big Chicago ownership is going to put an end to that.
Even McDonald's, some of them aren't open 24 hours.
Yeah, like, most of them aren't around here.
Whataburger is the only fast food restaurant I know that every location is open 24 hours. Taco Bell might be open 24 hours, every location.
No, not the ones around here.
Every Whataburger I've ever seen is open 24 hours. There was a story a couple years back. This is like the Whataburger episode, but it's fine.
It's okay.
So a few years back, we had a hurricane that mm-hmm. swept through Houston and, like, hit part of Austin. And during the hurricane, it, like, shut powers down and the roads were flooded. Every restaurant in the area closed down except the Houston Whataburger, like the four Houston Whataburger, or however many they have in Houston, which is probably like 20. There was a few Whataburgers that just remained open throughout the entirety of the hurricane so that people that, like, couldn't eat anything or didn't have any food could, like, drive, like, in the flooded thing
through the hurricane to
Whataburger and eat. And I just love that story. Because it's like, all right, well, we're stuck at home. I mean, you know how hurricanes work.
Yeah.
But you're like, you're stuck at home, and it's like, sometimes the wind isn't that dangerous, the rain isn't that dangerous, but, like, the power's out, and, like, you can't do anything. So it's like, okay, I could literally go outside and walk in the giant puddle of rain to Whataburger to get food. And some people did that, and I just like that story a lot.
There's another restaurant that tries to do that as often as possible. It's either Denny's or Waffle House. I want to say it's Waffle House.
I think it's Waffle House, yeah.
One of those companies, though, has an entire division of their company dedicated to weather, I'm pretty sure.
Really?
It's like the National Weather Service, but except it's like Waffle House Weather Service. Weather?
So do they just inform the Waffle Houses of weather?
Yeah, they inform the Waffle Houses whether they can stay open or closed during the hurricane.
Oh, so it's like... It's like, you got a big storm coming. Well, we think you're good, so stay open.
Yeah. The funny thing is they probably employ weather scientists to make those decisions.
I was going to say, do you think there's multiple people that have a degree in meteorology and work for Waffle House?
Yeah, there has to be. Otherwise, they couldn't make those decisions.
I don't know if that would be amazing or embarrassing.
Yeah.
Right?
So, you have a PhD in meteorology or whatever it's called, and your official job title is, like, the Waffle House weatherman.
The Waffle House meteorologist.
Yeah.
Like, you're at, like, a fancy party, and everyone has, like, a doctorate. And they're like, oh, I see you studied meteorology. What do you do? You know, do you work for the National Weather Service? And you're like, actually, I work for Waffle House Weather Service.
Yeah.
And I tell them when they can remain open.
Maybe the like the extreme meteorologists that can't get employed by the weather service because they have like a shady past. Maybe they like chased a tornado against government like advice or something, and now they've got like a bad image in the weather community. Yeah,
and the only place they can work is Waffle House.
Yeah, they've got like tattoos and they ride a Harley.
Oh yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Waffle House seems to have like an old world business style, if you know what I mean. Like, it seems out of place in the 21st century. You know what I mean? Like, it's open 24 hours, and they serve like diner kind of food, and they kind of like revel in the fact that they're like old school in that way. You know, like other companies in the 21st century, if they were like, oh, I wonder if we should close during the hurricane, they would just be like, let's hire a third party. Like, let's just have a third party service that tells us that. But Waffle House is like, no, it's all in-house. Like, we gotta have our own Waffle House.
Weather.
Yeah, weather man. Team or whatever. Like, okay, why? It's like, well, because that's the way it's done. Back in 1920, we did it that way, and we're doing it in 2022.
Yeah. Except in 1920, it was probably just, like, not a weather-educated person.
Yeah, like, they still have the same job, but, like, it didn't predict the weather very well.
That's so funny. They have, like, a really old look, too. Like, everything is silver and looks like it's from, like, Back to the Future.
Have you ever been on the Waffle House website?
No.
It's out of, like, 1995.
That's awesome.
And they keep it that way. I don't know why. Like, Denny's has tried to modernize, right? We went on Denny's website a few weeks ago. Remember, they've really Web 2.0'd it up, you know, Denny's.
Yeah.
Waffle House is just like, yeah, we look like a website from 1994, and we're not going to change it. Like, that's who we are. And I remember looking at it years ago, and they had a link to, like, some music video of Waffle House. Like, they hired some people. No, it was people within the company. Like, they wrote music for Waffle House, and, like, it's embedded in the bottom of the site or something for some reason. And it's like, what company in the 21st century does that? Like, nobody does that. Waffle House is just like, yeah, our employees wrote a song. Check it out in the link below. And you're like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, most companies would just hire a social media person.
Exactly.
Does Waffle House have a social media presence? I bet they don't.
I don't know. That would be a good job for you.
Yeah, would it? I hate social media. It'd be terrible for me.
Here's why. Because you are the perfect age for what Waffle House needs, right? Because you're not, like, totally in the new generation, but you're not totally in the old one. So you got, like, a foot in the door in both, right? You got a foot in the past and a foot in the future. So you'd be perfect for social media Waffle House because social media aspect, you need to know the new technology, but you need to remain true to their old school classic, you know, like, please and thank you, you know, nature, if you know what I mean.
You know what would be a really funny gimmick is like, person that doesn't know how to use a computer running the Waffle House Twitter. They constantly mess everything up.
It would be funny if their Twitter presence was like a guy, like one of their senior staff, because like they just promote by seniority. And like, you're in charge of the Twitter now. And they're like, what's Twitter? And they're like, don't worry about it. You'll figure it out. And that guy like just tells like a young person on the Waffle House team like what to post or whatever. Like he just like goes through them. I think that'd be pretty cool. Yeah, I just see Waffle House as like an old school company. Like they probably just promote from within all over the place. Like, you've been here 25 years. You're the new head of social strategy. Or you're the new Waffle House weatherman.
Yeah.
I wish they had, like, a school for that. Like,
like McDonald's does with McDonald's College.
Mm-hmm. But specifically for the weather part. So, like, if you can't make it into, like, a prestigious weather program, you can go to the Waffle House Weather School.
School of Meteorology.
It's still a PhD.
Awesome.
It's still a PhD, but it's, like, from Waffle House, you know?
Yeah, it's, like, not accredited, but they still call it a PhD. Right. You can get it in, like, 2 years.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be cool?
That would be cool. You know, And I think at Waffle House Meteorology School, they should also teach you how to do other stuff at Waffle House.
Oh, yeah. Because,
you know, hurricane season is only, like, what, like 3 months out of the year? You got to be able to do other stuff, because otherwise you won't be able to work. So maybe they teach you how to, like, cook hash browns, too.
I love how... So you'd be the one guy, right? Or do you think they have a team of weather people?
I mean, I've been to Waffle House. There's only like two people working there at a time. Okay, it's pretty amazing.
Maybe in like the middle of the country, whatever Waffle House is in, like Iowa or something.
Yeah,
that's where the Waffle House Weatherman has his like control center, and all it is just he has an office in the back of the Waffle House where he does his weather stuff. And then when they need more staff to, like, cook some more hash browns, they're like, Johnny, get over here. We need some more hash browns. And he's like, all right, let me finish this weather thing really fast.
Let me finish this weather report.
That would be incredible. I don't know if I would do that job. You know what would be fun about that job? Do a lot of different things. You're, like, you're wearing a lot of hats. It's a very dynamic work environment.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's you're doing science, like labor, cooking,
hash brown cooking, cleaning.
Yeah, probably cleaning too.
Do you think they track hurricane or tornadoes?
I mean, out in the Midwest, they should.
That's what I mean. If this guy was in Iowa, he could track tornadoes too. So then he could be like, you know, to a Waffle House in Kansas, like Kansas Waffle House number 73. You guys are in track for a tornado. You might want to consider closing your doors or whatever. And they're like, okay, we got you.
It's just so funny that, like, this one Waffle House in the middle of nowhere would be responsible for all the weather in the entire country.
I mean, I don't know how else they would do it. Like, do you think there's, like, a corporate headquarters where they do it? That would make sense.
That would make more sense, but it's way funnier if he's just, like, in the back of a Waffle House.
Waffle House seems like the company that wouldn't be wasteful in that way, though. Because if they had, like, a corporate center and they had the meteorologist there, you have to pay him, like, big city salary.
True.
For what? To just have him in Chicago or wherever they're based? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
What does it make sense? It makes a lot more sense to have him, like, on a back office in a random Waffle House in the Midwest.
You know what I bet? I bet you there isn't a Waffle House corporate headquarters. It's probably just, like... Waffle House. They're more of a distributed, like, ad hoc kind of system, where the CEO actually works at the Waffle House in, like, Portland or something. The weather guy works in Kansas.
Every executive in Waffle House actually works at a Waffle House.
Yeah. So next time you go to Waffle House, be nice, because... You might be talking to the CEO or like the head of HR or something.
That would be so amazing if there's a company that, like, that's the strategy they use. Like, everyone has to work on the ground floor.
I think that's more fair than how a lot of other companies are structured.
I absolutely agree.
I think everybody should have to get their hands dirty.
I agree. And yeah, the CEO's not going to do as much, like, cooking hash browns as, you know, whoever. But he still has to do it sometimes.
Yeah, he still has to be present in a Waffle House store every single day with his body. Like, he can't be in a nice office.
I think that's the problem with a lot of CEOs of, like, food places. Have you ever seen, like, the Undercover Boss show? Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah. Right. That's a
funny show. Exactly know what I'm talking about. Because, there was one I remember of, like, the CEO of Roto-Rooter, the people that do the plumbing or whatever.
Right.
And, like, he just sits in a corporate headquarters all day and he's the CEO. He doesn't know a lick about plumbing. And so an Undercover Boss, they sent him to, like, a Roto-Rooter, like, you know, place in, like, one of the cities, like, one of their call centers or whatever.
Okay.
And he had to be, like, a plumber for a day. Like, he was being trained as one of the new, you know, Roto-Rooter plumbers in, like, Cleveland or something. So they, like, sent him out to do plumbing with, like, his trainer. And he had, like, to do plumbing. And he had no idea what he was doing, right? But it's very interesting to me that, like, he's a CEO and he doesn't understand the day-to-day of his employees to the degree of, like, he doesn't even know where to begin. You know what I mean? Like, he's so far removed from the... the like moment to moment what they do that he doesn't even like. He doesn't even know how to even start doing it. It's weird.
In a way, he has no idea what his company does. Mm-hmm. Like he has zero grasp.
Like
on
he's
what...
never. Yeah, exactly. He's probably never met like a plumber on site before. Like it's just weird, you know.
He's probably never met a plumber before. He probably doesn't have plumber friends.
And it's just, I don't know. It's bizarre to me because like they'd be so removed from what their company does that how can you run a company without even understanding what your employees are doing? You know,
like I guess. I guess you can.
I don't know how successful. A lot of the food places are like that too. Like if we took Waffle House as an example, you know, I feel like Waffle House is the kind of company. Now I might be wrong. They're like if Johnny Smith worked there 30 years ago, starting as a busboy, he could work his way up to CEO of Waffle House. You know what I mean? Like I feel like that's the kind of company Waffle House is. So he would like know what's all about. But like. Pizza Hut, right? Or Domino's. The CEO of Pizza Hut Domino's, they might have never stepped foot in a Pizza Hut or Domino's before, you know? Yeah.
Or, a kitchen, even.
Exactly. Like, they might not know anything about anything in regards to food. It just seems weird.
Yeah, I think if you were to talk to any of their board of directors, like, they wouldn't probably even have a single person on there that worked their way up from, like, a delivery driver or whatever. Like, a pizza... dough tosser. Right. Which, I don't know if they even do that at Domino's.
To be fair, like, maybe they don't all need to do that, but, like, it would be nice, I feel like, to have some people on the board be, like, a person that, like, yeah, I started 20 years ago as a delivery driver, and now I'm here, or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Because then you have that perspective, because you lived that, you know?
And, you know, if other people heard about that, I think you would get better people working there if they thought that there was a chance for them
to... Yeah, because then they can actually work their way up.
Make something of their lives by working at Domino's. Like, I don't think the average person that works at Domino's thinks, yeah, this is what I'm going to do for like 15 years.
I don't think so either. And they're definitely not thinking, yeah, I can stay here long enough and maybe one day I'll be the president of the, you know, Michigan Domino's, you know, group or whatever. I don't know. It's weird. I feel like more CEOs should do that, but I don't know. It's strange because Back in the old days, I feel like you could have potentially started on the ground floor and like kind of worked your way up. Not to CEO necessarily, but like to something high, right?
You could, you know, have that be your career and not just like a job before your career starts.
But now you can't really do that. And it's not just food service. I feel like this is everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, it's definitely more noticeable in food service because the CEOs definitely don't know anything about food service at all. But it's definitely true in technology companies, too. Because, I don't know about your experience, but my experience is all the people that are, like, in high positions, they've been hired outside. Like, they came from somewhere else where they're already, like, high up and moved over.
Yeah.
There's very rarely, like, a person that's like, yeah, I started as a programmer, and over 20 years I became the president. You know what I mean? Like... That happened back in the 80s, but it doesn't really happen anymore. So it's like all the people in positions of power were already in positions of power at some other place. So like the grunt never has room to like actually get up there anymore. You know, it's weird.
Yeah, like the grunts stay grunts kind
of. Yeah. And the only way to become a person of power is like a really shitty Silicon Valley way, which is like, I started my own... digital parking company and we failed, but I have a lot of experience as a president. And they're like, okay, you're a Silicon Valley hotshot, let's hire you to be the CFO or whatever.
That's so funny that's how it works, dude. I spent 6 years failing on this terrible project that totally failed. It just didn't work at all, but I've experienced being a president.
Yeah, and investors, you know, bought into me, and they're like, okay, come on over. You know, then make them the chief operating officer or something, you know?
Yeah, the investors lost all their money, but like...
But I have experience. It's like, okay, this is great. I feel like a person that's better would be someone that's been working at the company for 6 years and figuring out what's wrong with it from the inside. But, you know, that's just me.
Yeah, that's just me, too. I guess that's why we're not people of power, though.
It's funny, because it's a kind of self-perpetuating, right? It's like, the people of power are hiring other people of power that don't know what the hell they're doing because that's how they were hired. So they're like, well, I guess I'll take a chance on this guy, not knowing that there's smart people in the mid-level, you know, at all. But there are. They exist. They're all over the place.
Yeah, it's a funny thing.
It is. It's weird. I don't know. It kind of reminds me of that, like, quote or something. I don't remember what it was. But, like, the gist of it was, like, more people that are brilliant, as brilliant as, like, Albert Einstein, have lived and died, you know, like, working, like, low or medium salary jobs than, like, there are, you know, people on the planet right now, probably. Like, you know, like, it's a crazy number of smart people out there that never had a chance to do anything.
Yeah. And there's a crazy amount of dumb people out there, too. But,
absolutely.
You know,
absolutely. But,
you like, maybe no matter what level you're at, the distribution of smart people and dumb people is exactly the same. Like, even at the top.
That is, like, a fantastic theory.
Maybe there's like there's an equation. There's like a smart people equilibrium.
Yeah, it's like we can call it like bat snacks. bat snack. What's a good like technical term for it? Bat snacks law or something, right?
Yeah.
And it's like there's a formula, and it's literally like this is the split of dumb to smart people at every level of society. Yeah. And it just holds true all the way up. Yeah. You know that would explain a whole lot about civilization.
Yeah, it would.
Wouldn't it? It would explain everything, basically.
Yeah, because, I mean, there's some good ones and there's some bad ones, and
I think people assume as you get higher and higher, the distribution shrinks. Like, it's more smart people than dumb people. But in my experience, it definitely does not.
That has not been my experience.
I think it keeps pretty consistent, you know? Have you ever met someone that was successful and they were, like, dumb? Or not dumb, but, like, I don't know. Maybe dumb's the wrong word. Just like sketchy or like And then you're like, how did you get? Like you wonder in your head, like how did they get there? That seems wild. Like how did they? Yeah. You know, like what happened here?
I meet these people all the time. It's like, wow, you make so much more than me.
How did you pull that off? It's like I have a successful gravel company. You know, I started at 22. And it just took off, and I'm really rich. And I was like, what? How did you do that? And I think at the end of the day, it's like what we said on another episode. It's like, it's mostly luck. Like, let's just be honest. Which would also explain why there's a distribution at the top and the bottom that's the same, right? If it's all luck-based, then the distribution would be the same, would be continuous the whole way up the strata, right?
Yeah. I mean, maybe there's, like... There's a different attribute that isn't smartness that can make you better at being successful. Do you know what I mean by that?
Oh, I know it's called competence, I think. Yeah.
No, because I think competence even is pretty even at the top. Like, there's some very incompetent people.
No. Confidence. Like, oh, I'm confident in myself. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe it's that.
I don't know. Maybe not. I feel like confident people that are dumb are more likely to succeed than smart people that are not confident.
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
In my opinion. Just over the years, I've noticed that as a thing.
Yeah. Another thing I noticed is that it's harder to... I'm not saying that I'm a smart person, but I think it's harder to be confident the smarter you are.
I absolutely agree. Because you don't know as much stuff. And you know more, and it makes you aware of all the things you don't know. Yeah. So you're like,
you know more about how bad you are.
Yeah, like
if you are smart.
The smarter you are, I feel like the more mistakes you've made, because you have to make mistakes to learn about things. Yeah. And once you've made those mistakes, then you realize like, oh, every time I have a decision, there's a good chance that I'm wrong. Whereas like someone who's never realizes they're wrong, just thinks they're right all the time, and so they're confident, you know? Which is kind of wild, the way that that works. But what are you going to do?
We talk about this all the time on the show, where there's a lot of people that are very successful that we're talking about. We're like going into this a lot. You can kind of tell that we're both a little insecure about this topic.
It's true. It's when you reach the age we're at, and we're like, doing decently for ourselves, but we're like, we notice people that are our same, similar age, and we're like, what is going on with you? Like, how did you know what I mean? I think that's the thing. But what were you going to say? Sorry.
Yeah, there are a lot of people that really do believe that, like, they make their own success, though. And I just think that's such a selfish point of view. It's, like, misinformed, too.
Yeah, you're not counting on the fact that other people helped you. And you got really lucky, you know?
Yeah, it's just like there's a delusion there where it's, like, the world I live in, I did this, but in reality, it was a lot of other things.
I think the biggest, like, the most respectable form of success from another person, in my opinion, is, like, a persistent success. So, like, not like they're successful all the time. Like, they took a really long time to become successful, and it was just from sheer force of will of, like, oh, I failed, I'm going to keep doing that until, like, one day it'll eventually happen, you know what I mean? Like, the stubborn persistence. Like, and it's not because they're, like, super talented or super smart, it's just because they, like, kept doing it, and then eventually were successful. Like, I respect that. Whereas, like, other people, it's like they kind of fall ass backwards into success, and they're like, it was all me and my brilliance. And you're like, no, you just got lucky, you know?
Yeah, but, like, other people. My visualization and my crystals and my various.
It was just, you got lucky. But the other people, if they try enough times, eventually they're going to get lucky, you know? And that's what. And I think I respect that success more because it's like, okay, you worked your butt off to do this, and you failed probably a shit ton of times, but at the end of the day, you didn't give up, and you got it.
Yeah, I like that, too.
That's a lot more. I respect that kind of success a lot more. And I feel like that isn't as celebrated in the world. It's a lot more celebrated of, like, the idiot savant success, right? It's like, I'm an 18-year-old person that made a thing, and I got $1 billion, and it was, like, mostly by accident, you know? Yeah. And we're like, yes, that's amazing. You're a genius. You know.
Yeah, that is like the less likely it is to happen, the more celebrated it is.
Yeah, but we don't attribute, which is weird, right? Like it's least likely to happen, but we don't attribute it to chance in that situation. We attribute it to brilliance. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the opposite end, where it's like a person works for the same thing for 20 years, has no success. Finally, they push through and they are successful. We don't attribute that to brilliance. We attribute that to, like, oh, well, they finally got lucky. It's like, no, they use statistics, the law of large numbers. Eventually, they're going to get a break. You know, it's like the opposite. It's weird. You know? I'm salty about this, obviously.
Have you ever thought about playing the lottery?
Like
buying a lottery ticket?
Yeah, I guess so. I've not really done it, though.
Yeah, I've never done it either, but, like, I'm finding as I get older, it's more tempting. Have you thought about that at all?
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Sort of recently.
It's weird that you say that, because when I was 18, if someone was like, would you play the lottery? I'd be like, that's stupid. Like, that's the dumbest thing you could possibly do. But now it's like, I mean, what am I going to lose? Like, a couple bucks a week?
Yeah.
Like, who cares? You know what I mean? So, I see what you're saying. Like, it's a low risk.
It's kind of like, and you start to realize, like, I take stupider chances all the time.
Every day.
They could never pay out that much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's almost like might as well play the lottery.
Yeah. Like, if I'm doing dumber stuff on the side over here and, like, constantly every single day, I might as well, like, throw a couple.
Yeah.
Even though technically mistakes, like, the payout is way better.
It's really good. And I feel like the thing is, like, with the lottery, like, you could overdo it and spend way too much money playing the lottery. But if you played, like, a few bucks every week, it's like, okay, give up one cup of coffee from Starbucks or something, you know?
Yeah.
Play the lottery, sure. You know, now you have a chance every week to win the lottery. Great. Cool.
Yeah, maybe and you probably won't.
You probably won't. You'll probably win a minor prize one time throughout your life, like $100 or something, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, whatever. Like, it doesn't matter. You might as well do that kind of thing. At the long run. It's weird. It's weird how the perception changes.
Yeah. That's something that's changed a little bit with me recently. I still don't play the lottery. I probably never will. Just because when I was younger, I was so adamant about.
Well, I was adamant too. And I know that the odds are so low. And it's stupid to play the lottery.
Yeah, it is.
But, like, like you said, like, there are tickets that are, like, $1, and you could win, like, $30 million. Like, for $1, it's like, sure, I'll give them $1 a week. I don't care. You know what I mean? Like, that's not going to affect my financial situation in any way.
Yeah.
And now I mean, I have a minuscule chance of winning $1 million. Sure. You know?
Yeah, and there are, like, I don't pick up nickels on the ground, like, because...
They're a waste of your time.
Yeah.
Wait, I think we had this conversation. I did a quiz. I never posted it on the Twitter, but I should have. About, I feel like we had this conversation. Maybe we did.
We did.
There was a quiz about the value of your time, and like it went into like how much would you spend money to like free up an hour of your time on the weekend or something like that, or how much time would you spend to earn $50, or you know, yada yada yada. So they kind of phrased time versus money questions, like they were very similar questions, but they phrased them in different ways to highlight how you are kind of hypocritical with your thoughts. So, for example, on the weekend, I would pay upward of $60 to free up 2 hours of my time, right?
Yeah.
This is just an example. I don't know if I would do that, but here's an example. On the other hand, I would be willing to wait in line for an hour for 2 hours for a chance to get a $50 gift certificate. Like, that doesn't make any sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you've contradicted yourself in that way. And so the quiz just, like, shows you that. You're like, you're not being honest with yourself. And then it has, like, a thing where it's, like, based on these responses, we think your money per hour is, like, $60 or something like that. So, like, if you have to spend an hour to save less than $60, it's not probably not worth it for you, or something like that. You know?
Yeah, that's an interesting. Yeah, that's an interesting thought process.
So it's like, if there's a sale, you know, south side of town, and you got to drive to save $30, and it'll take you 45 minutes to get there and 45 minutes to get back, you can think to yourself, you know, that's probably not worth it.
No, I should just go to the store.
Just go to the regular store and spend $30 more. And
can I tell you though? I do this. I drive to different stores because I know that stuff is cheaper, even though like the gas and the time makes it totally
stupid. Though I know I do the same thing.
But you know what? I think this quiz doesn't account for. It feels good to save like $1 on chicken.
There's like a psychological effect to it too. And the thing that annoys me with like money is like, let's say I was like, screw the driving 45 minutes to save $30. I'll just buy it at the store. I would go into the other store, look at the thing, hold it in my hands, and then be like, nope, I can't do it. Because I know that I could get it for $30 cheaper somewhere else. You know?
I do the same thing.
Like, yeah. I've done this so many times. Are you ever in a store, and you're like looking at it, and you're like, oh, this is a good deal. And then you look on Amazon or something, and it's like $5 cheaper. Like, it's like an insignificant amount of cheaper. But you're like, okay, I won't get it. And then you put it back, and then you, like, never buy it because you don't buy it on Amazon. You don't buy it there. It's like, okay, you're just never going to get this thing. Like, I don't know why I do this, but, like, it's psychological.
I do this with games a lot.
You don't want to spend you want to get it for the cheapest you can, or you will feel bad about yourself.
Yeah. Otherwise, you like got played or something.
Yeah.
Someone took it like something like took advantage of you. Like a ghost energy in the universe.
I've even been so far as to be like, I was about to buy like a game and it's $60, and then I like check online to see what the prices are and they're all the same. But I'm like, this game has been out 3 months. I bet if I buy it now, it's gonna go on sale next week. So I'm like, I'll just put it back. You know what I mean? Like. And then I never get it. You know, that happened to me last year with some
game. Something like a game, though, too, that you're probably going to get your money's worth even if you were paying twice as much for it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because, like, games, absolutely. Like, for like, entertainment per hour, that's probably the best deal you can get in the world.
It's, like, really high, you know?
Yeah, it's very high. There are games that you can play for, like, 500 hours at a time.
It's, like, $60 or whatever, right? It's, like, wow, that's an insane, you know, cost-to-hour entertain ratio or whatever.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you still have this stupid idea. It's, like, maybe it'll be on sale next week. I guess I won't buy it. And you're just robbing you of that. And the thing that bothers me the most about it, and this is kind of funny, because I like cherish time more than anything else. So it's funny because, like, maybe there'll be a weekend, right, where I have nothing to do. And I go to the store on Saturday, and I'm like, oh, maybe I'll buy this game, right? And so I go up to the game, and it's like $60. And I'm like, I bet that'll go on sale, so I'll put it back. And then I go back to my house. I literally have nothing to do the rest of the weekend.
Yeah.
Sit and watch TV, the same things I've watched. And then at the end of the weekend, I'm like, I didn't do anything. I wasted 48 hours of my life doing nothing new. You know what I mean? Where I could have just spent $60 on a game that I was going to get anyway and just do it right then, you know, like, and then just like play it over the weekend. And inevitably, I'll just buy it like a week later or something anyway. So like, I just wasted a week not playing a game, not doing something enjoyable because I wanted to save $5 in the future. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
And you know, when you buy that game in the future too, it's not going to be as good as if you had bought it when you first wanted it. You're going to be like, this guy, I don't even like this game. I wasted it all.
Because you're like, I should have bought it last week. I don't have time to play it now. Yeah, it always happens to me like that, man.
Like, ruins your perception of the game.
It does.
Or the book, or the movie, or, like, there's a ton of stuff you can do this
with. So, like, it's funny that we're talking about this, because, like, I'm bad at New Year's resolutions, but, like, the past 2 years, I've had the same one, and I'm just gonna keep having the same one until I have it, and I told you about this. It's, like, the just do it, like, resolution, where if I'm hesitant to do something, but I'm, like, leaning towards it, I should just do it. Like, I need to stop thinking and just do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that was my resolution in 2018, and it's my resolution in 2019. And I'm getting a little better, but I'm still not there. But, like, I feel like my life would greatly improve if I just took on that thing. Because I question my decisions all the time before I do them. Like, I'm like, is this worth doing? I don't know. And I flip-flop. And in flip-flopping, I'm wasting more time and more energy and more stress. Like, I'm making my whole life this, like, question of should I or shouldn't I? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
when you could just be...
When I could just do it, you know?
Like,
you
could just do it, yeah.
Like, not doing it is, like, ruining my life. You know what I mean? Like,
I know what you mean.
Like, it's stressing me so much not doing it because I'm, like, questioning whether or not I do it. Like, if there's a thing I want to do and I'm like, no, I don't want to do it, and then I leave, we've had this conversation, but you're driving back home in your car, and then the whole way you're like, damn it, I should have done it. Damn it, right? And then
it happens to me
and then your
lot.
Entire life is just that stressed moment. Whereas, like, if you do it, even if you don't like it after you've done it, at least you remove the stress of not knowing whether or not you want to do it or not, you know?
Yeah. I've never, like, just gone for it and then been angry about going for it.
Me neither.
Like, it's never backfired that hard.
Sometimes it's like, oh, this is as good as this isn't as good as I thought it would be, but you've wasted a lot less time and a lot less money probably just doing it than stressing about whether or not you should for a day. You know,
and you didn't have to deal with the anguish of being like, oh, would I have liked doing it? Like, I don't know.
This topic, and I don't want to get into specifics because it's, you know, weird, but like this kind of thing are the things that kind of like ruin like whole days for me, you know. I'm serious.
Like, I believe
like,
you.
Should I do that? And then I'm like, no. And then I like go home and then I'm like, damn it, I should have. And then I think about it, it's like, maybe I still have time. No, that's fine. You know, and I don't know. I just got to do it, man. If you're kind of leaning towards it, you just do it.
So go for it.
That's what I've been trying to do.
It's a good resolution.
Yeah. I think my judgment is good enough that if I'm leaning towards it's a good idea, then it probably is.
Or at least it's not like catastrophically bad.
And I won't be that burned from it, right?
Yeah.
Like, I have pretty good judgment, I feel like. Whew. Well, that was a long conversation.
So what's going on this week?
Did we introduce ourselves?
Did we have an introduction to this show yet?
I think we did.
Oh, we did? Okay. We didn't the last. I don't know if it was last or whatever.
Oh, what's going on this week in the world? I haven't talked to you in a whole week. So what's up with you?
Summer Games Done Quick is going on this week.
I'm wearing my shirt right now.
Oh, cool. You wore it to work?
I did. No one commented on it, but it's fine.
Oh, they should have.
Someone posted on our Slack channel about it, like, 2 days ago. They're like, SGDQ is on, and I'm like, oh, another SGDQ fan. And then I was like, I'm going to wear my shirt. And then they didn't see it the whole day.
Oh, I hate that. I'm sorry that happened.
No, this is the kind of human being I am, and you know this, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I wear shirts so that other people can talk about them, comment on it, you know? And I specifically wore this shirt for this one guy that commented, and I was like, oh, he's going to see my shirt and be like, ooh, I like SGDQ, and then I can be like, I was there 2 years ago, and it was cool, and then we can have a cool conversation about it, but...
I can just imagine you being at work, and you walk up to this guy, and you're like, so what's up?
And then I, like, push my chest out, like, how's it going? Like,
stretch really hard.
Yeah, you doing anything cool? And then I see, like, his stream is open, and I'm like, yeah, watching anything cool over there, you know?
You notice anything cool about my shirt?
Oh, God, I hate that so much.
No, I do this too. Like, let's talk about fashion real quick. We've never talked about this. So my entire sense of fashion is I like to have obscure references to things on my body. It pleases me.
Sure.
And the problem with that is no one ever knows what's going on. And most people probably just think I dress like a weirdo.
Yeah, I love weird references, though.
Yeah, me too.
But go ahead, what were you saying?
That's all I was saying.
So give me an example of one of your weird reference shirts or whatever.
I mean, SGDQ is a great example. I have like probably 10 of the shirts.
Yeah.
No one's ever commented on them except for you.
And I bet you every time you wear them, you're like, maybe this is the day someone will reference my shirt, right?
Yeah.
Every day you're like, maybe this is it. Maybe this is it.
You know, for my birthday, which was recently, my cousin got me the coolest shirt I've ever seen.
What is
it? It's a Life Aquatic golf shirt.
Oh, that's cool.
And it's made by Murray Brothers. Mm-hmm. You still there?
Yeah. The Murray Brothers.
It's made by their golf shop, and it's like the shirt looks like an ocean, but there are little tiny, like, fish. Embroidered versions of the characters on certain parts of the shirt. Cool. And it's so cool. No one will ever know what it is.
You probably have to get really close to see it, though. Right? Maybe.
You can kind of tell, though, because you've got, like, the red hat, and they've got the leopard shark. They've got all these cool little things on it.
See, I love shirts with references like that, because that's like... It's not obvious. Like, I'm not wearing a shirt that has, like, Link from The Legend of Zelda, like, killing people.
Yeah.
But it's just deep enough that, like, if the other person knows a lot about the thing, they'll recognize it. And then you know you can have, like, a decent conversation with them. Whereas if you wore something obvious, they're like, oh, Zelda. And you're like, yeah, like, great. Like, that doesn't, you know, like, you probably know one thing. You know, you might know nothing about it, you know.
Yeah.
But, like you said, like... If they know enough, it's like, oh, now we can have a conversation about this or whatever.
Yeah. It'll be a shirt with, like, Link on it, and he's doing, like, a sword slash or something, and it says Legend of Zelda in huge letters over it. And, you know, you meet someone in the coffee shop, and they're like, oh, I love Zelda. That's a cool shirt with Zelda on it.
Yeah, exactly. And you're like, damn it.
But so it's not even Zelda.
But if getting the little obscure, like, it helps being, like, okay. But then the problem, like you said, is, like, nobody comments on it. I feel like a lot of my wardrobe is like, here's a shirt, and I hope someone comments on the shirt. Oh, this reminds me. This is a great story. This happened last Thursday, and I didn't get a chance to talk about it on the show. You remember when we were at Desert Days last year?
Yeah.
Okay, remember how I bought that cool shirt, and it has, like, the lady's head on it, and she's like has, like, a dream cloud, and all the bands are listed in the thing? And it's, like, a really weird font, and it looks really cool. We have this, like, it's not a cafeteria, but, like, a food truck-style thing that stops at our office. And so I go over there for lunch one day last week, and the guy's like, oh, that's a really cool shirt. And I was like, oh, thank you, it's a music festival. And he's like, oh, that's cool, that's a kind of a festival I would want to play at. And I was like, oh, yeah, what kind of music do you play? And he's like, oh, I play, like, psychedelic music. And I was like, oh, this is the kind of festival this is. And so then we got into, like, a long, like, a 5-10 minute conversation. We were the only people, I was the only person in line, about, like, music and, like, what kind of music his band played. And, like, he had never heard of this festival, but because it looked weird, vaguely, like, psychedelic hippie music kind of thing, like, he just latched onto that and, like, started talking about stuff he likes. And he, like, showed me his band on Facebook and stuff. And, Like, it was a cool conversation. It was like, I just made a friend with this man that was in the food truck. And guess what? No one in my office, having worked there for 2 years, has ever made a comment about this shirt one time. But, like, this random food truck man did, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
That's why you wear those clothes, though, because you... When someone does connect with it, it's usually a pretty strong connection.
Yeah, it is.
Because you share in that, like, oh, we both like this obscure thing that no one else likes.
Yeah. But the cool thing was, like, he didn't know about the festival, but, like, because the design was so, like, hippie music-y, like, he latched onto that aspect, which was, like, really cool. I was like, oh, that's neat that you kind of connected on that. But, yeah.
Yeah, that psychedelic, like, hippie, cool font, like, kind of trippy imagery is pretty distinct. Yeah, so I think if you see a shirt in that style.
It was a cool conversation. But yeah, no one at my work has ever commented on that shirt, but that guy did. He was like immediately like, oh, sorry about this. That's cool. But yeah, I don't know. I have other shirts that I wear that I'm like, huh? Yeah? You like this shirt? And then like no one will say anything. It's fine.
I have a polo shirt that I wear to work a lot that has the Rebel Alliance logo where, like, the Ralph Lauren symbol should be.
Yeah.
It's small, like, so you can't really tell unless you're looking. But I've had someone see that, like, symbol and be like, oh, who makes that shirt? And I told them Ralph Lauren.
The Rebels make it.
I was like, oh, it's a Ralph Lauren shirt. This is their... Starship brand.
The Rebel Base brand.
Yeah.
That shirt would fly at my workplace. People would notice that. But still, that sucks. Yeah. I have a Final Fantasy IX shirt that's like obscure, though. I think I've worn it around you. It has like a Moogle on it. And it has like, it's like a fake shop sign. It says Taurus Synthesis Shop. And it has like a Moogle and a sword, like, as, like, the branding image of this, like, fake logo. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's, like, an obscure reference to a shop in Final Fantasy IX.
That's awesome.
And even if you don't know it's from Final Fantasy IX, I mean, it has a Moogle on it, you know? So it's pretty obviously Final Fantasy. Like, you know it's Final Fantasy if you see the Moogle. And I've worked at a game company for, you know, I've worked in games for 6 years. Not a single human being has ever made a comment about this shirt, like, before. Which bothers me every time I wear it, because I think it's, like, the coolest shirt I own. And someone could be like, oh, that's a cool Final Fantasy shirt. You know, like, which game is that from or whatever, you know? But no, nothing. Not a single time.
If I saw someone wearing a Final Fantasy shirt, it doesn't matter which one, I would totally be like, that's a cool shirt.
Thank you, I appreciate it. I have another one that's even more obscure, because it doesn't have a Moogle on it. You know Final Fantasy VII?
Yeah.
You know the beach in Final Fantasy VII? Like, the weird resort beach?
Mm-hmm. The one where the dolphin helps you, like, jump up
the beach? No. Well, maybe. No, it's, like, the resort beach.
In the first part of the game.
Yeah, remember where you get, like, the plane that can't fly?
And then you get
to this beach or something? Anyway, it's called Costa del Sol in the game. And so the shirt I have, it says... Costa del Sol in a fancy kind of Polynesian kind of font, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then it has, like, a picture of, like, a sunrise and a beach. And then in the background, the plane that doesn't fly, there's, like, a silhouette of it flying in the background. And so, like,
so cool.
It's very obscure because you have to know what Costa del Sol is and you have to see the plane. And the sun... is in the, like, it's the shape of the sun, but it has, like, the materia, like lines, like the, like, you know, the burning materia, like, as the logo of Final Fantasy VII?
Yeah.
Like, the sun is, like, in that shape.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, yeah. So, it's, like, really obscure, but no one has commented on that shirt.
I would totally get that. I always comment on these kind of shirts whenever I see them. I was at Walgreens the other day. There was a guy wearing a Dragon Ball shirt. I was like, that's a cool shirt, man. Yeah. It was just like Goku going like,
see, that's all I need. Like, I just want that. But no one does it. I think my issue is, like, I'm so socially awkward with people. I can't be like, hey, you want to talk about Final Fantasy VII right now? Because I do. So, like, I can't just do that. But if someone saw my shirt... then it's like an in that I have to start talking about something I like with somebody else. You know what I mean?
True.
So it's like a segue to a conversation for me because I can't do it naturally as well as other people, you know? So
yeah. Isn't that kind of how like clothing works for normal people too?
I think
like,
so, yeah.
Say if you're like a very conservative dresser, mm-hmm. you'll probably talk to people that dress similarly as you because of what you're wearing, right?
No, yeah, absolutely.
So do we like belong to this secret? This is going to sound super nerdy, but like gaming culture.
Oh God.
No, maybe. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe.
There's a culture.
Yeah.
There.
That's true. But I feel like we're not. So here's the thing, because there's fashion, okay, where people are like, oh, I like your blouse or I like your pants, they look cool. And then there's like gamer culture, which is like that's the guy that wears like Goku, you know, hi-yi-ing, yeah. Or like Link, like slicing a guy with a sword, or Mario jumping, you know, or Master Chief shooting an alien, like right yeah. on the front of the shirt, like right in your face, you know.
Yeah, true.
And then you got what I wear, which is like you wear, which is like the more obscure stuff. So I feel like we're still in that gamer culture, but we're in like the, I don't want this to be too obvious to people, you know.
Yeah, I want it to look like a normal shirt, but there's a little
something extra. But then the people that get it, they get it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. So maybe there's like a subset there. But maybe, yeah. I don't know, maybe we are this in a secret gamer culture thing.
Yeah, I think we're part of a secret group of people. That's kind of what that is.
I just don't consider myself in the gamer culture at all.
No, neither do
I. Because I don't like, we've talked about this on the show before. Whenever I go to like a convention or whatever that's gamer-centric, like the first thing I do when I walk in the door is I look around and I'm like, God, why did I come here?
Yeah.
You know?
That's why I love going to these places with you, because like we both feel like outsiders, yeah, yes. And it's so fun to like talk it's shit
so
about everybody.
Odd. Let's yeah. talk about this show. We've done no questions, but that's fine. I think we could keep the whole show up like this. Can we yeah. talk about outsider culture for a second? Like,
yeah, maybe that's our culture. Maybe it's not gamerism. Yeah. Maybe it's outsider.
So
culture.
I want to talk about this because I don't know about you, but I know about me. I'm 31 years old now. I never like felt like, oh, I'm like a outsider, but I've always felt like I'm kind of an outsider. But now that I'm older, I realize that I have definitely been an outsider my entire life.
Yeah, I could have told you that.
Without necessarily realizing it, right? Yeah, you probably could have told me that. But like I always thought I was on the cusp, but I never realized I was so much of an outsider until recently, I guess.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because no group have I ever been like, oh, these are my people. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like everyone has that moment at some point in their life where they're like, they go to something and they're like, they're just like, they feel at home. Like, they're like, oh, these are my people. You know what I mean? I don't think I've ever felt that my entire life. And now that I realize that, I'm like, okay, that means I've been an outsider all my life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know how you feel about yourself, but that's kind of the revelation I've recently had, which is why.
Yeah, it's basically the same.
Which is why I feel like I don't fit in gamer culture. And I think the problem with me is all throughout my high school years, because I played video games. I mean, we both played a lot of video games, right? And we watched anime. We did all that nerd stuff, right? All throughout my high school and college years, I tried to like fit myself in to the gamer, anime, nerd culture, right?
Yeah.
Like a lot. Like, I spent, like, 10 years trying to fit myself in there, and I never felt like I did. Like, ever. I never felt like, these are my people. Never once. But I, like, kept trying because it felt like it aligned with my interests and, like, I was supposed to be there. But I never did. I never felt like that. Ever.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that was most of my motivation. Like, you remember back when I was younger, I was obsessed with being really good at video games. Yeah. And that's because I wanted to fit into the gamer culture. And the only way that I thought that it would work for me is if I was better than all of them. And they could be like, okay.
Wow, look at this guy. He's the best at blah, 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 or whatever.
Yeah. You know? But it just never worked.
But, like, you were really good at some games. Like, you got really good at DDR. You got really good at, like, Ikaruga and some other, like, shmups. You got really good at a few other games. And it's like, and then you're like, oh, look at me. But, like, even if people are like, "Oh, you're really good at this," it feels like you don't fit.
I was still not part of the gamer culture that I wanted to be in.
It's just weird, and it's not because people didn't accept you. It's just like you didn't. I mean, I don't know about you, but like I was like, maybe I was accepted. I just didn't really want to be in there. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. Like something psychologically, and maybe it's just a psychological thing. Like I'm an outsider because I just don't feel like I fit anywhere. You know what I mean? And I'm, like, independent. Yeah. But it's weird. It's so bizarre. I don't know. I think about this a lot sometimes.
I haven't thought about it in a long time.
There's a pros and cons of being an outsider. You know? Because on one hand, you have a perspective that not a lot of other people have. Because everyone's in some kind of group, you know, wrapped up in their own thing. But on the other hand, you feel like you're alone sometimes.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like lonesome, but everything is a lot funnier, too.
Yes.
Like, other people are way funnier to me.
That's true.
Because I don't fit in.
Because you can laugh at other groups doing stupid shit because you're not part of them. Like, you have nothing to lose, and it's just it's funny looking outside looking in, you know?
Yeah.
I think it would only be funny if you had someone else to laugh at it with, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because otherwise, then it's like you're laughing at it with yourself, which is kind of weird sometimes, maybe. But since we both are kind of like that, it works out because it's like, oh, look at these. Look at this. This is funny.
Look at these. What are these people doing? Click. I love, like, because I don't get to do this at all. Like, not where I work, not in my regular everyday life. Uh-huh. But, like, I don't get to just look at people and be like, what is this guy doing? And, like, talk to someone else about it. Like, I might be thinking it, but I don't get to externalize that.
But that's, like, my favorite thing to do, externalizing that. Because it's funny. It's really funny.
I love talking to other people about how, look at that guy over there.
It's really funny.
What is he doing?
Oh, man. It's super fun. It absolutely is super fun. But you can only do that if you're like removed from that group or whatever, you know, that thing or whatever. but that's why it's fun to like going to an event or going to a group with someone else that's not part of the group and willing to see it and like, you know, maybe laugh at it or maybe comment on it is a lot more fun for me. And then, like, if I go alone or with someone that's already part of that group, then I feel like I'm an outsider. I'm, like, just lonely
and
bored. You know what I mean? Like, good example would be if we went to, like, a gaming expo together, I would have a good time. If I went to a gaming expo with one of my friends who's, like, a hardcore gamer, I would not have a good time probably. You know what I mean? Like, that's the difference because one person fits in and I'm, like, feel like I'm on the outside. And the other is, like, we're kind of on the cusp, but we're, like, outside enough to, like, laugh at stuff or whatever. You know,
is this like a whole, do other people do this where they intentionally go to places where they don't fit in, they're not part of the region, they just go there to like,
and it's not
basically,
it's not making fun.
No,
it's like being entertained by.
Yeah.
It sounds wrong because it's not making fun of people.
It is a little bit.
It is a little bit, maybe.
And maybe a lot of it, too. Okay, but, it's not malicious, though.
No.
Like, I'm not trying to hurt anybody. Like, I would never say anything to anyone's face, but I do want to go to weird places and be like, this is weird.
This is weird. Let's talk about how weird this is. Yeah.
It's my favorite thing to do.
You're, like, touring some other culture, you know? You know what I mean? You're going on vacation to another culture, you know, almost. Or another, you know, interest group or whatever, you know,
it's weird. It's like in Star Trek, you know, when they visit a new planet, they go down on the planet and everybody acts like a freak.
Yeah.
And they're nice to them, but then when they go back in the ship, they're like, what the hell? I can't, did you see him do that?
But it's fun to talk about that stuff. Yeah, it's weird. But like to the people that are doing it, they don't see it as weird, but we do, and it's fun to talk about. But...
Oh. That's why Star Trek is the best show. It's like,
true.
So they go to the new planet,
yeah.
Bunch of freaks, and then they just talk about it on the ship.
They're just away like, that was weird. What do you think would happen with that guy? I don't know. That was weird.
Yeah.
That was a weird tradition that they had down there. But no, it's definitely fun to talk about. I don't know. It's weird.
Mm-hmm. No, it's insider stuff. I didn't have any trivia for you this week.
That's okay. I'm just interested in how long have you known that I was a outsider person? I don't like using that word. I feel like there's a better word for it.
There probably is.
Outsider feels like I'm like a hobo on the edges of society, doesn't it?
Yeah. When you're actually, you live a pretty normal life.
I live a normal life, yes.
Yeah.
But I don't want to use the term like loner, because that
you're not a loner. You have friends.
But I feel like that's what, like, when you think about social groups when you're growing up, you know, the outsider, quote unquote, archetype would just be like, oh, that's just a loner. You know what I mean? That would be that.
Probably.
They would just fit that in there. You know what I mean? I think.
It sounds depressing, though, and I don't see you as a depressing person, is the thing.
Mm, yeah. I mean, I see myself as a depressing person, but yeah, I know what you mean.
I don't see you as that, though.
Sure, sure. Now I see what you're saying. I'm not, like, sad about things.
No, you're not sad. You're just, like...
I'm just something. I don't know.
You see things your way, and other people's way is not your way. No, and your way makes sense to me, and I think it's funny.
It's my way or the highway.
Yeah. And it's the way.
It's the way. Yeah. I think that's so... Ugh. I don't want to talk... Well, maybe we are talking about this more. I'm sorry. I feel like the issue that I have with other groups is they always have... They have, like, a set thing... I don't want to use the word belief, because it's not really a religion. But they have a set core values for this group. And, like, if you're part of that group, that's what you have. That's, like, what everyone has. And everyone, instead of, like, independently thinking, they're like, oh, I'm part of this group now. Let me adapt my beliefs and opinions and stuff to this group. You know what I mean? That's what it feels like all the time. Like, if you like anime a lot, or you like video games, or you like football, or you like whatever it is, like, if you're part of a group, it just happens that you kind of adapt your opinions to mirror the other people in the group.
Yeah.
To an extent, right?
Yeah. And, to go with that example, like, if you become part of the anime group, I think this is happening more and more as time goes on, but, like, if you join the anime group, your beliefs outside of anime also have to match.
Right?
The anime group.
That's so weird! Like, and that's the really scary thing.
Stuff that has nothing to do with anime.
And that's the really scary thing with the internet, right? Because it feels like that's happening more and more. It's like, okay, we're the anime people. We like these animes. And also, we love Donald Trump. And it's like, wait, what?
No, but that's real. That's real.
I know it's real. And it doesn't make any sense to me. Can I just like anime and not like Donald Trump? Is that something that's possible? No, like, no.
No, you can't.
It's like, that just blows my mind.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it?
And that's what I don't like about groups. I think they're stupid, because people just mold in their opinions based on some group thing. Just be your own group. But if you're your own group, then you're ostracized by the group. It's like, well, you're not part of the group. You don't really like anime, because real people that like anime like Donald Trump.
Love Donald Trump. Like, we can't consider you part of our anime culture group, right? Because you don't accept this totally unrelated thing.
It's like, what are you talking about? And I feel like I realized this early on, like, when I was a kid, and I was like, well, excuse my language, but fuck this, you know? Like, this is stupid.
This is stupid.
I'm just gonna do my own thing, and who cares what happens? But you're right, it's been getting more and more. It's getting worse and worse as time goes on.
I love that that's your example, too. Anime and Trump. I mean, how is that a thing, too?
It's so weird.
Doesn't make any sense.
Can't people just, like, have individual beliefs and just also have, like, things that they like and just, like, have both of them at the same time? Like, is that not a thing anymore? It feels like everything is compartmentalized. Like, you're either in this box, or you're in this box, or you're in this box, or you're in this box. And you can't be outside of the box. You have to be within it all or not in it at all. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's so weird. And I think the internet has, like, inflated it almost more. I don't really know. I don't really know why. Maybe because it's easier.
Well, because it's, you know, you go to the gaming section of the internet and... You know, the number of sites that people visit is going down. Yeah. Like, the number of gaming websites. If you were to go back to, like, 2002, the number of websites you went to for video games was probably, like, 20. Now it's probably, like, 2.
More, maybe more. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, now it's like a few.
Yeah, and because of that, you know, everybody on the site just doing the same
stuff. To be fair, I don't think this is an internet exclusive problem. I think human nature is just how this, like, this is just human nature. But I feel like the internet magnifies it more because it's easier to connect with like-minded people now. You know what I mean? And it's also easy, like, it's super easy to connect with like-minded people. And then you see all these like-minded people that like this other thing that you don't like, but they all like it. And you're part of the group now, so you're like, well, I guess I'm liking that extra thing. You know, like, it's really easy to just fit in there if you want, you know?
And you know what? If I'm Arby's, I really like to co-opt that group and pretend like I'm a member of it, too.
Right.
Don't you love to do that?
Everyone wants to be part of a group in society.
And you know, like, Arby's is the video game fast food? How did that
happen? So, they're like exactly what you said. They're co-opting a whole social group and saying, hey, Arby's, I'm a gamer, too. And all the gamers are like, Arby's is in our group. That means I'm going to eat at Arby's because I'm supporting my own group.
It's so smart. It's so smart. It makes me sick. It's
brilliant and evil at the same time. Oh, my God. And it's human nature. It's like this desire today in the 21st century to belong to some group. To some, not group that you define, but someone that somebody else defines. Like a predefined thing. And it's freaking stupid. I don't know why anyone does that. Like, everybody does it, but nobody thinks about doing it. And then they're liking and retweeting social media accounts of Arby's because they identify as a gamer. Like, it's so stupid.
You know, we can bring this right back to the very beginning, too. Because, you know, the person that decided to co-opt gaming culture at Arby's was a high-up that never worked in an Arby's before, ever.
Yeah, absolutely.
Never went to a video game event, ever. But once they did that, everybody, you know, like, now people that work at Arby's are probably gamers.
Probably, yeah.
And, you know, people that work on their social media team, they're not, like, faking it. That's probably their, gamers. Like, yeah, that's probably, like, it's not an act is what's scary.
It's real. It's probably very real.
They're real.
And it's disgusting.
And it's disgusting, and I hate it.
I hate groups. We should abolish them. We can't abolish them. We can't do anything. I think the moral of the story is you got to be real to yourself. You are your number one. Form your own opinions about things, and don't be swayed by what everyone else that likes the same thing that you like thinks about something completely unrelated to the thing you like.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know, we got a problem about that. What are you going to do? Let's end the show with some random Reddit question. How about that?
Sounds good. Do you have one?
I don't have one, but I'm going to go on Ask right now. I'm just going to find the first one, and we're going to do it. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Well, these are bad. These are all... these are all bad. Here it is. I got it.
Cool.
What makes a salad a salad?
That's a really good question. That's good. I've seen salads that don't have
any salad.
Any salad.
This is a perfect show topper question. So I've seen a salad that has no vegetables in it at all.
Yeah.
Also, you got like chicken salad. And
That's chicken and mayonnaise. There's like that's. How's that a salad?
No. And tuna salad. So what is the thing here? The only factor that I think that's similar is you've got a lot of tiny pieces of something that are like put together in like a kind of loose mass, right? And then you like eat it.
Yeah, it's like chopped up.
Yeah.
Is trail mix a salad?
I think this definition of it. If it had mayonnaise, it would be.
Maybe that's the definition of a salad. You can put mayonnaise in it. And it's little bits.
That's the definition. It's little chopped up bits that you can put mayonnaise in. Which works because all salads, mayonnaise started as a salad dressing. And you can absolutely put mayonnaise in salad. So, I think that's it. I think that's the definition.
even fruit salad, you put like something similar to mayonnaise in it.
It's true.
There's like a sauce.
It's like a sweet mayonnaise.
Oh, yeah, there's a sauce.
So bad. It's like a yogurty kind of mayonnaise.
Yeah, it's not like the regular.
Yeah. So it's chopped up bits that you can put a mayonnaise-like condiment on, and then it's a salad.
Yeah.
So, okay, trail mix could be a salad because you could put like yogurt-y kind of dressing on it. And then now you got a trail mix salad. You got like granola salad there. Just invented a new salad.
That's a really good idea, actually. Go. Just put like that. You ever had those pretzels that they're like healthier than chocolate colored covered pretzels?
Yeah.
You just put that on trail mix, and that's trail mix salad.
And that's your salad. And that's your salad of the day. And you can be like, I'm eating healthy. I'm eating a salad today. Don't mind that it's trail mix and covered in sweet yogurt, but it's a salad. So that's the salad. Who's our sponsor today, Bat Snacks?
Our sponsor today is Trail Salad brand snacks.
When you're feeling like eating healthy, but you don't want to eat anything green, choose Trail Salad. Remember when you're feeling like a dude.
Be in a good mood.
There you go. Drive safe, everyone, and have a great night. Thank you for listening. Bye.